Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Dinovellis. We're just cranking them out right now. Season number 5 tipped off with author and attorney and Ivy League aficionado Richard Kent. He wrote a book entitled The Madness of Ivy Basketball. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you haven't listened to the podcast yet, please check it out. Download it. Episode 1. Richard has a wealth of Ivy League knowledge, and especially when it comes to Yale and Princeton. And he goes back to the days of Bill Bradley and before. So he shares some awesome anecdotes and insight into Ivy League, not only throughout the years, but certainly last season, which was one for the record books in the men's and women's side for Ivy League basketball. A lot of it's in the book. Check it out. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, The Madness of Ivy Basketball. And on that note, we continue with our Ivy League theme to start season number 5 of the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. I am so excited to welcome my guest. He is the reigning Ivy League Player of the Year, Caden Pierce from Princeton. Caden, thanks for coming on. Pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am so looking forward to this college basketball season and seeing Princeton get back out there. What's the vibe as you guys return to campus and you're practicing again?
Yeah, I mean, just can't wait to get started. A lot of talent coming back, a lot of new guys, a lot of returners. But, you know, overall, you know, there's a new energy, I feel like, within the group. And, you know, we're excited to get going as practices start to wind up, and just really excited for the year ahead.
I bet. Let's rewind a little bit before we get into this year. Okay. Last year, you know, you guys accomplished some phenomenal things, including the start to your season and knocking off Rutgers. I think you started out 13-1, 9-0, and battled your way through the Ivy League and earned the number one seed on the last day of the regular season, beating your arch rival Penn. And then you just ran into a Brown team that, let's face it, might have been the hottest team in the Ivy League, you know, at that point in time. So, you know, listen, no shame in that. I mean, they could have and probably should have beaten Yale the next day. But you know, what did you learn from that? What do you take into the offseason and into this year? And how motivated are you to get back that banner and get back to the NCAAs?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit it. That loss was definitely tough, especially being the outright number one seed and just losing. But like you said, Brown was definitely the hottest team in the league. And, you know, they outplayed us that day. And so there's nothing we could do about it. But honestly, I think, you know, having some time removed from that game, I think it definitely helped. It definitely helped my mindset and everybody else's mindset. You know, my freshman year, I think I was a little bit spoiled. You know, we made it to that. We won the Ivy League, shared the Ivy League title, and then we won the Ivy League tournament. Obviously, made it to March Madness and ended up going to a Sweet 16. So while there was adversity throughout that season, there wasn't the type of adversity that we'd faced after we lost to Brown. So, you know, I think, you know, hopefully it's a blessing in disguise that, you know, we've experienced that type of loss, and it definitely has motivated me over this summer. And I know it's motivated other guys as well. And so, you know, we're just looking to get back out there and hopefully avenge ourselves. So
I bet. It's a new age of college basketball where the athletes have a lot of control and a lot of opportunities out there, NIL opportunities, money. I know Xavian, you know, looked into and he tested the waters for the NBA. What can you tell us about your offseason? Were you ever thinking about going into the portal, or was that never entering your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky world we live in nowadays. You know, it's I was telling somebody the other day, if you would have, you know, I kind of myself and, you know, other guys, we kind of know where we stand in terms of what our, you know, value is in dollar amounts if we're to go to a certain other school or whatnot. But I said this the other day to somebody, but if you would have put, you know, that amount of money, whatever it is, in front of and kind of dangled it in front of my high school self, I would have had a much different reaction than I do now. And so I like to think that I'm much more mature and that, you know, those things don't affect me as much as they would have if I was, you know, 17, 18 year old. But yeah, the off season was definitely, it was unique. I mean, it was nothing like this happened after my freshman year. And so, but I feel like it's just the world we live in where, you know, there's people just, you're always kind of hearing things. And so while you're trying to do your best to block them out, I was just kind of thinking through everything and I took my time with it. And, you know, ultimately I decided that, you know, Princeton here is the best spot for me and fully content with that decision.
And a lot of people at Princeton breathed a big sigh of relief, I'm sure. Maybe your parents did too. You know, listen, the value of an Ivy League education is priceless. But if there are other opportunities out there, like you said, and these carrots are dangling, and, you know, maybe your dream school is somewhere else. Danny Wolf goes to Michigan, which was apparently one of his dream schools growing up. That's tough to say no to as well. So as you're weighing it, what tilted the scales to Princeton ultimately?
Sure, absolutely. I think the thing that I, a couple things kind of, you know, I couldn't help but think about to stay at Princeton was first and foremost that just the team culture we have around here. I think through 2 years here, I've, you know, built relationships with every single guy on the team, and you know, these are ultimately my, you know, they're my best friends, and so leaving them behind would definitely be, you know, definitely would be a struggle. And also the coaching staff and the support unit that I have around me and all my teammates have around us is special. And at least for me, I always say it, but maybe if I were to go to, you know, a higher major school or, you know, this and that, I'd be playing against better competition. But I think here at Princeton is where I'm able to develop my game the most because I'm able to play through mistakes and I have Coach Henderson's trust and the whole staff's trust. And so they're encouraging me every single day to just try new things. And I think that's what I need most as a player is just to kind of unlock that almost creativity in my brain and just become more all around and but don't be afraid to make mistakes while I'm going through that process. And I think, you know, if I were at another school, I would maybe be looking over my shoulder and not, you know, trying new things and not trying to expand my game the way I am here. And so I'm thankful that I'm in this position and excited.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. So you have a great returning nucleus, a big three, if you will, with you and Xavier and Blake Peters. But, you know, there's other pieces around. You lost Matalako, you lost Zach Martini, and a couple of other players. As you are practicing, you know, the talent that you've assembled here, what do you think?
Yeah, you said it. We have a ton of talent, obviously returning and then guys coming in. We have a super talented freshman class. And so, you know, as we get going these first couple of weeks, I can definitely see that the talent's there. It's just a matter of, you know, who fits in, who, you know, does the things it takes to get on the court as a freshman. We all know that's not an easy thing to do. And so, you know, we certainly have the talent to build a special team. It's just about how we mesh. And so I think that's going to be super important for us in the first couple weeks and months of practice of, you know, just becoming a cohesive unit. And that's one thing that we're missing now that Matalako has left. He was our leader. He was our captain. And same with Zach Martini as well. Those two guys, you know, kind of were the glue that held us together when, you know, when we felt like we were pulling apart a little bit. And so that's now on myself and Blake and Xavier to, you know, kind of step up in that department. But, you know, we're excited for that new challenge and the opportunity to have a special year.
Yeah, I can't think of three better upperclassmen and leaders to be in those roles. So Xavier, like I said, tested the waters and he's returning. I'm sure you've read some things and heard people commenting, but when you hear things like, you know, you and Xavier are two of the top returning juniors in the country and might be the top two junior tandem on one team in the country or among the best. You know, when you hear these things, how does it make you feel, and how do you respond to that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's obviously an honor to be, you know, talked about and recognized like that. And you know, Xavier, he's one of my best friends, and so we understand that we're getting a little bit of publicity here and there, and maybe him more than myself, just because of his platform on social media and things like that. But Ultimately, we know what's important to us, and just being ranked, you know, in the top whatever of juniors is not the most important thing to us. At the end of the day, you know, we're just trying to win basketball games and ultimately make it to the NCAA tournament and make a deep run again like we had our freshman year. And so it's definitely an honor to be, you know, talked about like that. And, you know, we hear about it and we're grateful for the recognition and obviously super excited to kind of see how we've progressed throughout the years. But we definitely understand that there's a lot more to accomplish. And so we're staying hungry for sure.
I bet. And listen, that's a very mature answer. And something, obviously, you realize that no individual is bigger than the team. And I've been around a long time, you know, with winning and hanging banners comes individual recognition. So that with team success, mm-hmm. individuals earn success too, whether it's players or coaches. So, you know, I wish that the best for you guys. And you know, you guys, Yale, Brown, I mean, the Ivy League is just going to be a battle this year. I want to talk about that in a minute. You have Jalen Davis. We've seen him grow a little bit. And also, you know, a player that you're probably thrilled to have back, somebody who was there 2 years ago with you, is Devin Austin. How is he progressing? He was one of the top freshmen with you, I believe. And now, you know, you missed him last year. How is he progressing and how is he going to fit in?
Absolutely. I just got off the court with him about 20 minutes ago working out with him. He's, you know, back. Like it looks to me like he hasn't missed a beat. So we're super excited to have him back. He just brings a different level of speed, athleticism, size, length, you know, that we probably missed a little bit last year. He would have been definitely a nice piece in that system, but you know, we're happy that he's healthy again. And, you know, I'm expecting a big year out of him. I think, you know, hopefully the first few weeks of practice and scrimmages and stuff like that will be good for him. You know, he hasn't played in a year, so he's got to get his legs back underneath him a little bit, but he should be a huge piece of our team. And he brings an element of, you know, like I said earlier, athleticism and length that not everybody has. And so he's a special piece, and we're excited for his return. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think a lot of Princeton fans are, and fans around the Ivy League, no doubt. Xavien Lee, how special is he? I mean, the meteoric rise from his freshman year to sophomore year. You said he's one of your best friends, so you know him better than anyone. You know, what makes him go? And are you surprised that he has developed into this elite point guard and playmaker?
Absolutely. Yeah, he from the first couple of days of my freshman year, I saw the potential right away. Just the way he moves with the ball, he's so fluid, and while he's moving so fast sometimes a million miles an hour, it still seems like he's so in control and smooth, and he has this unique ability to just kind of glide. And so we've all seen it. He's unbelievably talented. And so I think that just last year and the summer going into our sophomore year, he had the opportunity to play for Team Canada. And I think at the FIBA, I think U19 championship. And so I think that definitely kind of helped his confidence and his growth as a player, just because he, you know, was able to showcase his skills a little bit on the world stage. So he understood that he could play and he could compete with, you know, the best players at our age group in the world. And he shined at that level. And so he carried that confidence obviously throughout last year. And so we kind of got a taste of what makes Xavien Lee special. And so we're going to hopefully see more of that this year.
Yeah, I hope so too. What really opened my eyes last year was that first game against Rutgers. You were down in Trenton, and you know, it was a battle with Rutgers. And when I saw him, you know, blowing by defenders and coast to coast, I think there was one layup in the second half that was a big play that put you guys, you know, in a little bit of a comfortable position, extended your lead. You'll probably remember the play.
Absolutely.
That's when I was like, wow, this is a different player.
For sure. Yeah, he's only becoming more confident, more mature as a player and a person. And I think that's only going to help him on the court. And so, yeah, I mean, you said it. He makes things that are not easy look very easy. And we saw it obviously in that Rutgers game and throughout many of the games last year. So
No doubt. Caden, I just want to give you a compliment because listen, I'm not going to compare myself to you, but when I played in high school, 6'2", I love to rebound and I wish I could rebound like you. I was a power forward in high school, a 3 or 4 trapped in a point guard's body.
I
You know,
love it.
I did what I could. All right. But when I see you out there, go after every rebound and the position that you get and out rebounding guys that are, 4 or 5 inches taller than you. I love your game. You're one of my favorite basketball players to watch, on both ends of the court. And I'm just in awe of you sometimes. So, what is the secret to your success of rebounding and going after these balls?
Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. Honestly, people ask me this, and I wish I had a better answer than I do. Honestly, I've just kind of learned to be a rebounder over time. I like to give credit to my dad. Back in the day, he was kind of the coach of my team growing up, but it wasn't the typical daddy ball situation like some people are used to hearing about. But my dad would always say, we're not gonna have a point guard. We're not gonna have a center. If you want to bring the ball up and play point guard, get the rebound. And so, I always kind of grew up small. And so, while I was one of the smaller guys on my team, I'm like any kid, I wanted to bring the ball up and play point guard and have the ball in my hands. And so, I used to just chase after the ball, go up and get it. And sometimes I'd be taken away from my teammates who were 5, 6 inches taller than me. And so, I kind of learned to gain that hunger for rebounds back then. And obviously I grew to be a lot taller throughout high school. And that's one of the main reasons that Coach Henderson recruited me when I was playing AAU with the Illinois Wolves, my 17U season. I remember I hopped on a Zoom call right before my visit to Princeton, heading into my senior year of high school, and he had showed me some film of my AAU season. And the first clip he showed me wasn't me like making a three or cutting or whatever. He showed me a rebound and he paused it when I had two hands on the ball above the rim. And first he said, he goes, "Does this mean anything to you?" or something along those lines. And I'm like, "I mean, not really. Like, I don't understand why you're showing me the picture of myself above the rim." But that's one thing that this program and Coach Henderson really, really prioritizes and emphasizes is two-hand rebounds above the rim. I like to think I specialize in that. And so it's just become a mindset, and I've embraced it offensively and defensively. I really enjoy going up and grabbing the ball with two hands, and whether it's on guys bigger than me or smaller than me, it doesn't matter. I just I enjoy coming down with that ball at the end of the day. So
And you also have to put yourself in position, right? So I'm sure you estimate, based on where the shot's going up, and you put yourself in position to get those, right?
absolutely, yeah. As you kind of play more basketball, you get older, you start to track the ball. So at this point in time, as soon as it re releases from the shooter's hands, whether it's my shot or not my shot, I kind of track it and where I am on the floor. I try to be the first guy to the spot that I think the ball is going to go to. And so, if I'm the first guy at that spot, it just becomes a jumping contest at that point. And so I gave credit to my mom. She was a volleyball player, so she gave me the 2 foot ability that I have. And so I feel confident that once I'm there, I can outjump pretty much anybody in that situation. So
You grew up with a couple of brothers who were also, are also very good athletes. So there must have been some competition, for
oh,
everything.
100%. Whatever sport you could think of, on the driveway, backyard, everything.
Any particular moment, stands out to you, win or lose?
Yeah, well, I wish I could say that I was more competitive with them. I'm 6 years younger than my oldest brother, Justin, and 4 years younger than my middle brother, Alec. And then there's me. And so, growing up
And
being
they beat the crap out of you.
beat the crap out of me, absolutely. So growing up being 4 and 6 years younger than them, just from a physicality standpoint, you stand no chance. And so I took my fair share of beatings in basketball, football, wiffle ball, like literally you name it, we played it and I lost in it. And so I grew up kind of just getting beat up on by my brothers, but I'm so thankful for those days, and I wish I could, go back and relive those a little
Well, maybe you relive it at Thanksgiving or,
bit.
Easter or, some other holiday, and over the summer, I'm sure you do, just like any brothers or siblings would. And listen, a lot of that has molded you into how hungry you are and the player you are today, no doubt.
100%.
No
Thank you.
doubt. Well, listen, there was one particular rebound that stood out last year. I'm trying to remember the game. It was at Jadwin. Right. And it was the game where you just flew in. Was it Furman you or whoever you were down late, or was it an Ivy
Yeah.
League? Right. And you just flew in and in one motion grabbed the ball and just threw it out to Olako, who you knew was going to be at the 3-point line. Right. I think Lee drove and you followed the rebound. Am I right?
Yep, Furman, you got it. The game winner.
Amazing. What amazed me about it was not that you grabbed the rebound, but you knew where Olako was as soon as you grabbed it. It was all like one motion.
Yeah, well, I didn't know who was going to be there, but I knew there was going to be somebody in the vicinity of where I threw it, and it just turned out that I happened to be, our best 3-point shooter last year, and so kind of got lucky with that one. But I turned, saw him there, and just kind of threw it to him, and he did the hard part and put it in for the win. So all credit to him.
Yeah, but again, you're right, but it's a team sport, and he's not in that position if you don't grab that rebound. They get the
Sure.
rebound, game over. There's no doubt about it. So, again, I'm just amazed at that, and on. I look forward to more rebounds from you this year. You had a little experience over the summer with 3-on-3 basketball, right?
I did.
The FIBA tournament. How tell our listeners a little bit about that, and playing 3-on-3 and how that was for you.
Absolutely. I played I got the opportunity to play for the name is a little difficult, but it was the under 23 United States team that competed in the FIBA Nations League tour of North and South America.
Okay.
So playing teams like Argentina, Chile, Puerto Rico, Mexico, teams like that. And so, Dalen Davis, my teammate, was on the team with me. So that was super fun to have a familiar face. But 3-on-3 basketball, I don't know for the listeners out there, if you haven't watched it, it's almost a different sport. There's a steep learning curve that it took me a couple days to get used to. But I absolutely loved it. We were down in Mexico City, and my team, Team USA, we took home the W, and so we won the tournament.
Wow.
Qualified for It was a qualifying event for the World Cup, which is actually currently happening in Mongolia. But they didn't send our team because we're a bunch of college guys, and so they didn't want to take us away from our college teams and seasons. So they sent some guys from the G League because it is under 23, and
Okay.
so. But 3-on-3, it teaches you how to play the game and play the right way. And so when you're out there, you're not going to win games if you're going one-on-one. It really teaches you to play with the other two guys on the court and move and cut and just make the right play. And so it was a lot of fun learning to play the game, and I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to do so, and hopefully, maybe there's some more 3-on-3 in my future. Who knows?
Who knows? And maybe in the Olympics, Caden, who knows?
Sure.
Because, we saw, who was it, Jimmer Fredette
Jimmer
and Team
Fredette.
USA. So that's what drew my attention this summer, a little, well, many Olympic sports, but the 3-on-3, just watching it, and I was like, wait a second, this isn't like backyard 3-on-3. You're not checking the ball here. I mean, you
No.
get a rebound, you're kicking it out, and it's constant motion. Did you watch any of it? And what were your thoughts at the Olympics?
I watch just about every game.
Wow.
There was a Princeton grad, Kareem Maddox, who
Yes.
on the team. So that was cool to see that. But yeah, I watched the game. That was the Olympics was a couple weeks after I got back from Mexico. So I was, obsessed with 3-on-3 by that point. And you said it, you got to be in great shape. When I was down in Mexico City, that's
High altitude, by the way.
7,000 feet of elevation. And so, my gosh, the first couple of games out there, I was breathing like crazy,
You get the
but
oxygen mask.
yeah, I probably needed it. But it's such a fun sport and a unique sport, and I think it's only becoming more popular, and so I'm excited to see how that game grows as well as the 5-on-5 game grows.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. So let's get back to the 5-on-5 here. The season's going to tip off in 7 weeks, something like that. Early in the season, I was looking over the schedule. You open with Iona, who's always a tricky game, and Duquesne. You go to Myrtle Beach and then Rutgers. I want to get to Rutgers in a minute. But what do you think of the schedule? It's always tough for Princeton to schedule non-conference, major opponents. But I like this Myrtle Beach Invitational too. It's there's a lot of really strong, I think three teams in there that finished the year, top 100 in the net, including yourselves.
Yeah, you said it. We have a tough schedule, and it's one of those schedules where you look at it and the names aren't necessarily jumping off the charts. They're not necessarily all high major programs, but they are, those tough mid-major teams that, the high major teams do not want to play. And so but yeah, we're excited. We got Hofstra, or not Hofstra, but I opening with Iona, and then obviously Myrtle Beach and Rutgers, and so we're excited for those games. And it's definitely a tough schedule, and so we got a little bit of a gauntlet, but we're excited about it.
Yeah, St. Joseph's, I think,
Yeah. Oh yeah.
once again,
Going there again, so
yeah,
that'll
again,
be
which is a very, you know what? W before that game last year, you had a chance to stay undefeated. And people who don't know, what is it like to go into that atmosphere? And unfortunately, I remember a little bit, I think you picked up two quick fouls, and it kind of changed any momentum that you guys might have had. But what is it like, that atmosphere and the hawk flapping his arms and everything?
That place was crazy. I mean, yeah, you said it. I picked up two early fouls. I was fighting foul trouble the whole game and never really got a rhythm. So I was kind of a non-factor in that one. But that atmosphere was amazing. We had an opportunity to kind of seal it towards the end. We missed, I think, four straight free throws. But that's partly due to the crowd and the atmosphere. The student section's almost on the court. And so, but we're excited to just kind of get back there and hopefully come out with a win this time.
Yeah, were you guys the number one free throw shooting team in the country, or
We were
close to it?
top 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah, so it just goes, and four in a row,
Four
four
in
in
a
a row.
row.
It just doesn't happen. But you know what? I was watching, a documentary recently on the 1983 Jim Valvano NC State team, and have you watched it?
I think I've maybe seen it.
So I'm telling you, if you find it on 30 for 30, go for it. It's all the guys, they get together, Derek Wittenberg and Terry Gannon, and they faced adversity early on in the NCAA tournament, like a lot of champions do. And it was like Long Beach State or one of the teams out west. They have like a 90% free throw shooter. And anyway, I think, it's before the 3-point line. Something crazy. They were down by 5 or 6 with a minute to go. Like an unheard of comeback without a 3-point line. And yet their best free throw shooter was a 90% free throw shooter. I think he missed two in the final minutes, and just opened the door for them to win, the game, and eventually go on to win the championship. So what I'm saying is, it can happen to the best of teams and players,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This Rutgers game, couple more questions with Caden Pierce. Okay, the Rutgers game, you guys got the best of them last year, and I know you have many games before that, but there's a lot of hype around Rutgers this year. I don't need to tell you that, with surrounded by Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. You're going to be asked a lot about that game leading up to it, that week. But to play them, to play that team, and at the Prudential Center, have you circled that? And what do you think about that matchup?
Fired up for it. Obviously they got the talent, with those two freshmen coming in, but they also got Zach Martini too. So that's going to be a fun little matchup there, and definitely have that one circled. Should be an awesome atmosphere at the Prudential Center, and super excited. And hopefully we're playing some good basketball by then. So definitely excited. It's going to be a tough one. I mean, I know Zach doesn't want to lose, and we don't want to lose as well. So we'll see what goes on.
And I'm glad that it's not the first game. You guys will get a few games under your belt, and so will they. And right before Christmas, December 21st at the Prudential Center. Really hope a lot of fans, in New Jersey and in New York come out to see that game. Do you still talk to Zach? It's going to be kind of weird seeing him in Scarlet Red.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be I talk to him all the time. Yeah, number 99 in red is gonna be a different sight to see. So
Listen, once you guys are out there, we're going to see some competition between you guys, and I can't wait to see it. And this year in the Ivy League, Caden, wish you guys the best of luck. I really want to thank you for coming on the podcast and, sharing some stories and all of your basketball knowledge. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, and all the success this year. Good luck.
thanks so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
All right, Cade. Thank you. Wanted to get you out here by 4:30 and on your way, man. Good luck in school this year. All
Yeah,
right.
appreciate it.
All
Have a
right.
good one. Thank you.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. That was Caden Pierce, the reigning Ivy League Player of the Year. And I got to tell you, I mean, there are any number of guys who can win it this year. Xavien Lee, his own teammate, could win it this year. Caden could repeat. You might have somebody like Keno Lilly from Brown win it. It really might come down to what player on what team wins it all. In other words, the best player on the best team in the Ivy League. That's what it may come down to. Bez Mbang, John Pulakidas from Yale. Any one of those guys are the leading candidates for Ivy League Player of the Year. And it's probably going to come down to those three teams: Princeton, Yale, or Brown. Those three teams at the end of the year. So the Ivy League is wide open. Last year, if it's any indication, it is going to be a wild affair. Last year, it was Princeton, Yale, and Cornell. This year, it'll likely be Princeton, Yale, and Brown. And who knows? Maybe Harvard surprises. Maybe Cornell surprises. All right. Maybe there's another surprise team, but odds are it's going to be one of those three teams. And just watch Caden Pierce. When you watch a Princeton game, watch him off the ball. Watch how he puts himself in position for every rebound and goes up and snatches it with two hands. Just like he said, it's an art. It's an art. It's an attitude and it's an art. Truly one of my favorite players to watch in all of college basketball. All right. Episode number two is in the books. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading and sharing the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. I couldn't do it without you. I also couldn't do it without our sponsor, Michael Supa from RE/MAX Realty, RE/MAX Revolution. Give Mike a call, 201-988-2577, or reach him by email, msupasells@gmail.com. That's MSUPPA sells, SELLS, at gmail.com. If you're looking to buy or sell down the Jersey Shore, Monmouth and Ocean County, give Mike a call, 201-988-2577, and tell him you heard about it from Brian on the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. That'll do it, everyone. Until next time, gearing up for the 2024-25 college basketball season. Can't wait. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. So long.